This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. The 7th International Conference on AIDS is about to convene in Florence, Italy, bringing together researchers and practitioners from around the world. My guest, Dr. Robert Wachter, was the program director of last year's International AIDS Conference in San Francisco. Wachter is a researcher who also treats AIDS patients. But being the program director of the conference had a lot more to do with politics than medicine. AIDS activists were growing increasingly angry. They were frustrated with what they perceived as bureaucratic procedures that were slowing down research and withholding new drugs from sick people. They threatened to disrupt the conference. Several groups boycotted the conference because of U.S. Immigration Department policies that restrict people who test positive for the AIDS virus from entering the country. Wachter's new book, The Fragile Coalition, is about how he tried to bring together scientists and activists at the conference. He told me the first thing he realized he needed to do was to bring activists into the conference planning process.
That was easier to do in San Francisco, which has a tradition of the scientific community, the public health community, and the community of HIV-infected people working together, than I think it would be in many other American cities where that tradition doesn't exist to the same degree. The issue of U.S. government restrictions on travel and immigration by HIV-infected people was a terrible struggle for us because it put us in a position where we were the subject of an international boycott and the conference was at considerable risk, but also in a strange way helped us all come together because it was a very tangible signal that all of us needed, were on the same side of this battle. The government had created this law, we thought mostly for political reasons. The law seemed not to pay adequate heed to the public health. And it was our feeling that the scientists, if we were to stand back and allow that law to stay on the books and allow the fight to be waged against it solely by the activists and the AIDS community while we sat in the corner doing our science, the conference would have been canceled. There was no question in my mind that would have been the outgrowth of a standoffish position by us. We also made many concessions to the activists. The activists said, this conference is very expensive, and it's expensive because it's an expensive thing to put on. They said, well, HIV-infected people can't afford to go to this kind of expensive conference, and we think that they need to be allowed to attend. And so we made free registrations available to significant numbers of HIV-infected people. The activists said that we need to have a voice in the main ceremonies of the conference so that people can hear what our concerns are and understand why we're so angry. And we did that. We tried very hard to integrate their concerns in the conference program, and I think by doing that, we're successful in bringing these groups together.
Your invitations to President Bush to speak at the AIDS conference were turned down. But Louis Sullivan, the head of Health and Human Services, did speak, and he was heckled so loudly that virtually no one could hear what he was saying. Also, paper objects were thrown at him in disapproval. Is that something that you tried to stop from happening?
We hoped that it wouldn't happen. We thought that the activists would have been best served by turning their backs on Dr. Sullivan to express their displeasure over some of the health department's policies and the HIV travel issue, but that he would be allowed a chance to speak his mind. But we knew that the activists had so much anger over the government's conduct of the epidemic that we suspected that something like that would happen. Our main concern during that session was to be sure that there was no violence, and we worked very hard in ensuring that no one would be able to attack Dr. Sullivan physically and that he had a way out of the conference if he chose to take it.
Let me get to some of the specific criticisms that AIDS activists have had against scientists and get your reaction to it. One is that the research process is too slow for an epidemic, that we're not talking about, that we're talking about an epidemic that people are already dying from and they need help right away, and that the model to get drugs approved is an academic model, it's a slow model, there's got to be a faster way of rushing through drugs that might be useful.
I think they're right. I think that the timing of the drug approval process has been one that is very slow. It's been one where we have typically erred on the side of avoiding risk. And that is in part because the Food and Drug Administration has been put in place to protect the public rather than to expedite the approval of potentially life-saving drugs. It's also a question of resources. To expedite drug testing, to expedite drug approval, requires tremendous man hours and woman hours and tremendous resources, and those resources have to come from some place. What we've learned in AIDS is that the resources can be put in place to expedite the process, that drugs can be moved through the pipeline faster. The risk still exists that in doing that, we will push through drugs that prove ultimately not to have been safe, to be risky and not efficacious. And we have to see whether this new balance that we're coming to, in part pressured to come to because of the AIDS activists, is a more helpful one than the one we started with.
Another criticism is that the big prize is going to go to someone who actually finds an AIDS vaccine. But in the meantime, if there were good drugs to halt the opportunistic infections that end up killing people who have AIDS, like certain pneumonias, that thousands of lives could be saved. But not enough attention is being put into drugs for those opportunistic infections.
Absolutely true. There is HIV infection itself. The cause of the AIDS syndrome doesn't kill anyone. What kills people is pneumocystis pneumonia and cryptococcal meningitis and tuberculosis. And these are the diseases that I think have not been paid adequate attention. And I think you're in part correct that the reason for that is that the search for a vaccine and the search for an effective antiviral is in some ways sexier and probably provides more potential payoff for drug companies. And I think that shift is moving a little bit back toward opportunistic infections, and I think that's a good thing.
Now, another criticism I've heard AIDS activists make on our show is that there's a lot of politics involved in deciding which drugs actually get approved, which drugs get the priority in research, and that that sometimes the scientists and doctors have their own self-interest at heart, and they want to kind of boost the direction that their own research is heading in so that they'll help scientists who are going to corroborate their own results and not be so interested in supporting scientists that wouldn't. And that also a lot of scientists and doctors that are on such panels represent pharmacological companies because they're also consultants to drug companies. So that's a special interest right there.
I think they're all legitimate concerns. I think that the danger is that we will paint with a broad brush, and sometimes the activists assume that all scientists are self-interested, are greedy, are working for the drug companies, and that clearly is not true. That people in the scientific and medical community are putting in amazing amounts of time and have tremendous dedication to trying to solve this problem. But it is true that the process of drug development and approval is in large part fueled by the resources provided by the drug companies. And that means that the drug companies will have a tremendous say over which drugs are tested and which drugs are approved. And sometimes those are not the drugs that we should be looking at.
But I wonder if you or any of your scientists and doctor friends ever feel these AIDS activists are really unfair and they're ungrateful. They don't appreciate the hours that we're putting in, the incredible work that we're doing, the efforts that we're going through to try to find a cure for AIDS.
I think there is a tremendous feeling just like that people among people members of the medical and scientific community. And I don't think I speak for the entire community. You have to remember that my job in putting together this conference was to understand their point of view so that I could help integrate it into the conference. For those who don't have jobs like that, who are working tremendous hours, often with not terrific compensation or recognition on trying to find solutions to the epidemic, to then find out that they're going to be heckled at a conference because of their quote, inaction, is tremendously disquieting. And there is a sentiment within the scientific community that some of the activist groups are ungrateful. They don't really understand the process. They don't understand the difficulties. And some of that is true. And some of the activist groups have found that once they've gotten into the system and begun to sit down on some of these committees and seen how the process works, they now understand why the process works so slowly. It is a very painstaking process. In order to rigorously understand whether a drug works or it doesn't, you can't just will it to be. You have to sit down and study it in a very, very controlled, methodical fashion. And many of the activists, I think, are gaining a new appreciation of some of the challenges that the scientific community has to face every day as well. So I think one of the things we're seeing is a new understanding on both sides of some of the challenges that each side has to face.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Dr. Robert Wachter. He's a doctor and researcher who works on AIDS, and he was the program director of the International AIDS Conference that was held last year in San Francisco, and he's written a new book about the politics of trying to bring together the scientists and the AIDS activists, and his book is called The Fragile Coalition. We'll talk more after a short break. This is Fresh Air. Dr. Robert Wachter is my guest, the author of the new book, The Fragile Coalition, Scientists, Activists, and AIDS. When you say that you think the often radical confrontational politics of some activist groups like ACT UP have resulted in actually getting people to the table to talk to them, are those scientists or doctors who are now getting to the table to talk to the activists doing it because they feel badgered into it, or are they doing it with a more kind of open-minded, enthusiastic sense of it?
I think the initial push comes from pressure. And I just look at my feeling as I went through last year, and I try to dissect it out now. Would I really have spent, I didn't have all that much time. We were very busy and our resources were limited. Would I have spent the amount of time dealing with the activists had I not feared for the conduct of the conference? And the answer is probably no. I think what happens is once you sit down at the table with them, these are people that look different than we do and come from very different backgrounds and have very different agendas. Once you sit down at the table, you realize these people have a tremendous amount to add, and that their vision of the epidemic is far different than ours is. Their perspective is different, and we can learn a tremendous amount from them. But I do think it takes a little bit of a jump start, and that jump start is provided in most cases by fear of disruption of our activities.
Well, you're on your way to this year's International AIDS Conference, which is being held in Florence, Italy. What do you think the big issues this time around are going to be?
I think the organizers of the Florence Conference have tried to bring the conference back toward the scientific. Ever since the last couple of years, there's been a real tension in this conference over whether or not it remains a scientific conference or whether it's in part a political convention. We tried to be both, and I think we succeeded to a large degree. Florence is really trying to move back the agenda more toward the science. So I think the issues that we'll see receiving a lot of play in Florence are scientific issues over vaccine development, new antiviral drugs, the role of drugs like DDI and DDC in addition to AZT, new treatments for opportunistic infections, and issues related to the infectivity of patients to healthcare workers and healthcare workers to patients, I think, will be the hot issues. Because of the U.S. government's backtracking on the HIV travel and immigration issue, I think the government has ensured that that issue will be a main focus of the conference as well, because unless things change very, very quickly and HIV people are people who have HIV infection are allowed to travel freely through the United States, the conference scheduled for 1992 in Boston will almost certainly be canceled.
Let's clarify what you're talking about.
Okay.
At the conference that you organized, one of the biggest controversies was over the American ruling that people who are HIV positive would not be admitted into the country.
That's right. The law was passed in 1987 by Jesse Helms and others in the Senate, and basically said that people who are HIV infected cannot either immigrate or travel to the United States. Because of a boycott of the conference and because of our actions in concert with AIDS activist groups and others, we were able to effect a compromise where people with HIV infection were able to travel to our conference specifically. But still, there are tremendous restrictions on the ability of HIV infected people to travel through the United States. The AIDS community and the scientific community are almost unanimous in finding those restrictions contrary to the public health and discriminatory, and we see really no role for them at all. There would only be a role if HIV was casually contagious, and it simply isn't. You're not going to be able to catch HIV infection from an infected traveler who you come in contact with on a bus or a subway, and people with HIV infection have tremendous contributions to make, and so our feeling last year and the feeling of the organizers of next year's conference in Boston is that we simply can't have a conference in the United States unless HIV-infected people are allowed to travel freely.
What's the status of that ruling now?
The status of the ruling is that there is a 60-day period in which more public comment is being solicited. The plans had been for HIV infection to be struck from this list of dangerous and contagious diseases, which would have allowed free travel. That was supposed to have happened on June 1st. The Department of Health received 40,000 letters from conservatives objecting to that change, and because of that pressure, has backtracked on this change. They now are allowing 60 more days of public comment, and I would think that the AIDS community and the scientific community should be able to generate enough pressure in counter to that conservative pressure to be sure that the public health interest is attended to and people with HIV infection are allowed to travel.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Dr. Robert Wachter, and he's a scientist and medical doctor who works on AIDS. And last year, he was the program director of the International AIDS Conference in San Francisco. And he's written a new book about trying to bring together the scientists and activists. It's called The Fragile Coalition. Has your role in last year's conference made you move more into the politics of AIDS and get further away from the medical research you were doing?
No, actually, I've returned back to the University of California, San Francisco, where I spend more than half of my time taking care of patients and teaching residents and students. My research focus, which previously was more clinical issues related to what happens when AIDS patients require intensive care, still includes that, but now includes some of what we're talking about, the role of activism, not just in AIDS, but in healthcare. I think what I learned through the planning of the conference and watching these groups interact is that these forces are immensely powerful and that this issue goes far beyond the confines of AIDS. As I look now and see advocates for patients with breast cancer and advocates for patients with Alzheimer's begin to engage in some of the same tactics that AIDS advocates have for the past few years, I realize, as I think I did during the planning of the conference, but I was so overwhelmed that I couldn't process it, I realize now that what's happening in AIDS is in many ways a paradigm for the entire healthcare system.
So are there ways that you think planning this conference has made you a better medical practitioner?
I think I'm more sensitive to the concerns of my patients, and not just my AIDS patients. I take care of people with diabetes and cancer and heart disease, and I think that previously our medical training is not one that would have us really delve into what patients are thinking about how the research establishment is doing. And now I'm much more inclined to ask a patient whether they've read an article about whether this drug works or whether this drug might be toxic, whether or not they're interested in advocating for certain issues related to their disease. And so I think I'm just more sensitive to the concerns of patients beyond the narrow medical realm that I generally concentrated on.
Well, Dr. Robert Wachter, thank you very much for talking with us.
My pleasure. Thank you, Terry.
Dr. Robert Wachter is the author of the new book, The Fragile Coalition, Scientists, Activists, and AIDS.